Parshas Emor deals with the Inyanim of Kedusha, of holiness, beginning with the holiness of the Kohanim, laws related to the Korbanos, the sacrifices. Then, major part of the Parsha is the holiness of the Moadim, of the festivals, the laws related to the festivals, and ending off with the Lechem Apanim, the showbread, the menorah at the end of the Parsha. Snuck in the middle of the Parsha, right before the section of the Moadim, we have the following psukim, and this is in this 22nd chapter, psukim Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, and Lamed Gimel. You shall observe my commandments and perform them, I am Hashem. You shall not desecrate my holy name, rather I shall be sanctified among the children of Israel. I am Hashem who sanctifies you, who took you out of the land of Egypt to be God unto you, I am Hashem. And as the Art Scroll notes point out in source number 2, this verse is the general commandment to give up one's life in order to sanctify Hashem's name, when the halacha requires it, such as when faced with adultery, or murder, as the only means to save one's life. This pasuk, is really the quintessential pasuk having to do with what we call Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, with obviously a lot of halachos connected with both. So the first question that we need to ask ourselves is, and this is the question that the Shemin HaTov of Weinberger, Zal, notes in source number 3, he says, "Kvar iveti la'el ha'kusha de'lama ba mitzvah kedush Hashem betov parashatenu be'ofen shenivla ben ha'ktuvim." It's like snuck in the middle of the psukim, "V'lo ba mitzvah kazu shikaro shel yadut makom chashuv v'nerah sheyeh bo leh chashivuto." Should it not be at the beginning of a parsha, beginning of a perek, somewhere where you obviously see it and can focus in on it? It is, after all, a fundamental aspect of our faith. Why is it almost like if you weren't paying attention, you'd pass right over it? Further, we need to understand is why is this pasuk of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem linked to who took you out of the land of Egypt to be God unto you, I am Hashem? We know Hashem took us out of the land of Egypt. Why is this mentioned here as well? Second question, in source 4, the Talmud Rebbe points out in Hema Yenachamuni that Madu Amra Torah v'nigdashti v'lashon nif'al v'lo b'lashon tzivui v'kidashtem oti l'ashon v'nigdashti nishmak et totav look at tzivui m'farash. V'nigdashti is written in the passive tense, and I will be sanctified. Why does it not say, and you shall sanctify me? There's a positive commandment to sanctify God. What is this idea, and I will be sanctified almost passively, without you doing anything, the nifal form, rather than the active form? And our final question, and this is the question that will be our major focus in Mirtz Hashem for today, is the question, again, the Talmud Rebbe notes, that the Sefer Charedim makes a distinction between the constant mitzvos and those mitzvos that happen in very infrequent times. And he notes that the mitzvah aseh shavanikdashti is ben ha-mitzvos atadirot. It's one of those continuous mitzvos. And the Sefer Yoreim writes, shemitzvah zum noheget kol yom vayom is a mitzvah incumbent upon us on every single day. So the obvious question is, how can we say that? Right? Thank God we aren't in that situation where we have to give up our lives every single day. How can we understand that this command, I understand that Kriyat Chil Hashem, that could be every day, but V'nigdashti, to sanctify God's name, happens, you know, once in a lifetime, and not even in most people's lifetime. So what way do we say this is a constant mitzvah of every day? So that's what we need to try to understand, why this mitzvah is almost snuck in without having more of a major profile. How do we understand the connection with this and leaving Egypt? That's question 1. Question 2, why is it written in the passive sense? And question 3, how do we understand this to be a constant mitzvah when it's a very rare mitzvah, if at all? So I think we can really divide up the idea of Kiddush Hashem on 2 levels, and within each level to see its relevancy for our lives. The first, which is obvious, which Rav Reich speaks about in Maros Shirim, source number 6, HaMikra Shekatav V'ahavta Et Hashem Elokecha B'chol Nafshecha. We know in the Shema we shall love Hashem with all of our soul, and Rashi, Chazal tell us, Afilu no tal Nafshecha, even if Hashem takes away your soul, you have to be ready to die on Kiddush Hashem. And indeed, source number 7, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah says, Asher nachnu mitzuvim lefarsem hamuna hazod hamitit ba'olam. Our job is to be able to publicize Hashem's name in this world, and not to be afraid of anybody, and to be able to stand strong in what our belief system is. And indeed, the Rambam continues in the Yad HaChazaka, in source number 8, and he says, Kol Beit Yisrael mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem HaGadol. Kol Beit Yisrael, all the Jews, it's incumbent upon them, Shenem Avrikdash Yibitok B'nei Yisrael, and we have to be careful not to desecrate Hashem's name. And then the Rambam goes through the specific situation. When a non-Jew forces a Jew to do something against the Torah, when do you listen? When do you give up your life? What are the different situations where the Kiddush Hashem is operative? What's perhaps the Shorash HaMitzvah, the reason or the source behind this mitzvah, the mindset? So Sefer Chinuch points out in source number 9, Shorash Mitzvah Zu Yaduah, it's well known, Ki Adam Lo Nivra Rak Lavod Baro, we were created to serve Hashem. Umi Sheino Moser Gufo Lavodat Adonai Noeva Tov, and if you're not going to give up your life to serve God, then you're not a good servant. V'arei B'nei Adam Yisru Nafsho Tam Adonai, and people give up their lives for their masters. Kavachomer, Mitzvah Melech, Malchem, Lachem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, which more so for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we know, that Koma Shabrakash Baruch Bolamo Lobra Lachvoto, everything Hashem created in this world, He created for His honor, as it says, Pasuk Yishayim Em Gimel, Kol Nikra B'Shmi Luchvoti Brativ Yisartiv Afatsitiv. I made everything in this world, formed everything in this world, for the honor of Hashem, and that's why we see that the frogs, for example, nature, the natural world, the frogs jumped into burning ovens in order to do the will of God, to be everywhere in Egypt. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah took a kav v'chomer and learned from them that if this is what God wants, then you'll do whatever God wants, even if it's at the expense of your own life. You don't think twice. And that is indeed how the Ramban explains the continuation of the Pasuk. Hamotzi etchem eretz Yitzrayim li'o lachem lelokim li'aro anayim. Dehainu, says the Ramban, shera'ui l'kadei shmo alehem, b'avur shanechta v'adeva shergalnu Yitzrayim. The reason, perhaps, why this pasuk is found right afterwards, when we know God took us out of Egypt, is this is the reason He took us out of Egypt. He took us out of Mitzrayim in order to be the servants of God. And in order to be a good servant, we do whatever the Master commands us. So we have to understand that taking us out of Egypt gives us the framework in which we know that we're obligated to serve Hashem. And indeed, as Rav Reis points out in source number 10, Lo zo bilvad, we have seen that Am Yisrael has indeed done this throughout all generations, given themselves up for God. We've seen throughout history that the Jewish people have done it with joy. This is our calling right now. And that is why we find Jews who are about to die, Kiddush Hashem, or singing and dancing on Imamin, or Ashreinu Matov Chokeinu, how fortunate is our portion. They don't see themselves as miskenim, as Ay Nebach, that they have to die, but rather what an opportunity it is to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And this, and here comes the key for us, El Shekdei Lagil Ramako Gvoha Shel Kiddush Hashem, in order to reach this high level of Kiddush Hashem, that we're ready to die for Hashem's honor, for His name. Drusha avodat hachana mu'umetzat shel yamim rabim. You need to prepare yourself. Kol mitzvah doreshet hachana nafshi mukdemet. Every mitzvah needs some aspect of preparation. Al achas kama v'kama mitzvah rabati zu. For sure, this mitzvah, shenitam l'kayma rak pam achat b'chayim. I can only have one chance. It's not like eating matzah on Pesach. That you didn't have so much kavanah this year, okay, we'll give you a chance next year. Or you live in Chutz La'aretz, you have a chance of second night. No! This is a one-time deal in your life. If you messed up, you can't fix it. And in this way, we find that to a certain degree, the preparation for the mitzvah of Tadayo Kiddush Hashem is what is the constant mitzvah, preparing yourself for Dayo Kiddush Hashem. Indeed, he notes, Yitzhiramiso, Hachana Nafshi L'Kiddush Hashem, Hinalo Rak Emsei L'Agia Mitochal Ritzua Mitzvah Karui B'Rega Machria, El Shachana Zuhi Yitzvah Mitzvah. So on the one hand, how is it a mitzvah to be deep, a continuous mitzvah of every day? So on the one hand, Rav Reitz is saying is that the preparation itself for dying on Kiddush Hashem, it's a lifetime preparation. And so that when that moment comes, you have prepared yourself. So the preparation itself, which is the Kiddush, the preparation itself, the preparation itself, even if you never get a chance to actually act on that preparation, which we hope we don't, but the preparation itself is counted as a mitzvah. And indeed, the Rashban notes this. Pasuk in Tehillim Mem Daled says, Ki alecha horadnu kol hayom. We killed ourselves for you, God, every day. Now, the obvious question is, how can you be killed every single day? Usually, if you've died, that's it. Rather, every day when we daven, and we say in Shema, v'chol nafshecha, with our whole heart, and we agree to this, it's as if at that very moment we are saying that if we were to die, and Hashem were to take our heart, we would die, O Kiddush Hashem, we're doing it, but simcha, we're ready to do it. That readiness to do it in itself is a mitzvah. So that is a mitzvah that indeed we need every single day. People daven shacharis and maariv, it's twice a day. Where a person, if they're really davening with kavana, understands that b'chol nafshecha, I'm ready, I feel shu no tel nafshecha, I'm ready, even if Hashem takes my soul. And indeed, my friends, and I think in the last few weeks, this heroine, Lori Kay in San Diego, is an example in front of us. In Eretz Yisrael, we've unfortunately had many examples of Srav, in Ariel, with many children who turned around to try to stop the terrorist Ari Fuld of a number of months ago. You see a number of examples where people's instinctual reaction is, let me stand up for the honor of God. The ability to have that reaction and not to turn the other way and not to just think about oneself is coming from somebody whose life and whose life mission is to serve God and to serve the honor of God, so that when that moment of truth comes, and we don't have time in those moments of truth to start weighing and making decisions, these are really coming from a very deep instinctual part of a person. Where does that deep instinctual part of a person come from? It comes from all of this hard work of our whole lifetime saying, I'm here to serve God. I'm here to do whatever needs to get done for the honor of God. And when one says that, and one isn't living just for oneself and one's own personal needs, but sees a larger picture, then at that moment of truth, they are indeed able to die on Kiddush Hashem and create a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Similar, but slightly different, the Rabbi Eliyahu Melech Milozhinsk, who becomes famous for his people going pilgrimage to Lozhinsk, Kafal of Adar, he has in his very famous Musa work, Setul Katam, where he says, in the Aaron 12, Bechol Eid Varega Shupanu Mina Torah. When a person isn't involved in learning Torah, Ubiprachu Ushay Batel Vato Bechedr Shokhevo Mitoto. You're lying in bed, you can't go to sleep, and you're tired of counting sheep and pulling the wool over your eyes. Ve no Yacholisho, or the comforter of the wool, the cotton of the. Yema Harrier Remitzvah Nasezu Shalakdash Mitok Penesa. What should you do? This is a little bit intense. Personally, I think you'd have more nightmares than helping you go to sleep, but be that as it may, you should imagine that there's a great fire and that you are burning Al Kiddush Hashem and that you're ready to give your life for the sake of God. And therefore, when you're just lying in bed, you're not lying in bed doing nothing, but rather, Rakbekayim mitzvah asei daraisa, you're fulfilling this mitzvah from the Torah. So indeed, it's a mitzvah that's tmiti. Right? You go to sleep every night, you can sit around and you have nothing to do. Let's blue your CR, right? No technology around you to distract you. And you're just sitting there bored, you know, in a doctor's office. Your phone ran out of juice and there are obviously no more magazines these days because who reads magazines, right? And you're sitting there, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? Maybe a doctor's office or a dentist's office is also not a very good place to be thinking about this. Use your imagination. That you're dying, Al Kiddush Hashem. And that you're being consumed by a fire, firing squad, whatever it may be, and having that thought and being ready to give your life over to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is a kiyum of this mitzvah of the Nikdash Tibetok B'nai Israel. Here we understand why it's written in the passive, not in the active, because here you're not doing anything. right? You're not actually dying al Kiddush Hashem. You're imagining as if you've died al Kiddush Hashem. So since it's the thought of imagination, but not actually doing it, it's more of a passive rather than an active command. So the passive command is really the mitzvah tmidi. It's the continuous mitzvah. The active command is actually doing it. It's the imagination, not actually doing it, but thinking about it, which is like a different state of being. That is perhaps why it's written in the passive. On this, we can ask a very interesting question. It's a question, honestly, I never thought of until I learned this piece of the Karei Shmo of Rav Brombeil. And I think it's a very, very important question. And that is, we know that if a person is going to die al Kiddush Hashem, we know that a person is not dying because they think that their life isn't worth living, and you know what, let me just give it up anyway. The example that he gives is the example of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim was so careful. He kir b'yikaros ha-chaim. He once did a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and he saw on a given day he couldn't figure out what he did for a half hour, and he went, you know, berserk over it. Right, the very famous story of the Rav in the yeshiva, Rav Trapp, who was very sick, and the Talmidim were ready to give up a day, a week of their lives toward Rav Trapp that he should live. And they asked the Chavetz Chaim, how much are you ready to give of your own life? And he thought, and he thought, and he said, 1 minute. And they said, only 1 minute? He says, do you know how precious 1 minute is? Right, this was the Chavetz Chaim, who every minute of life was precious. And yet the same Chavetz Chaim, who would hear him say in Tefillah, Ribono Shalom, the arrow tiskeni le'rega kedusha Hashem. Let me be worthy to die al Kiddush Hashem. So obviously, if the Chavetz Chaim is going to die al Kiddush Hashem, it's not because he doesn't value life. It's because he values life very much, and he recognizes the ultimate life is to give it up for Hashem. So here we have a question. Okay, we understand that those individuals giving up their lives al Kiddush Hashem are doing so because there's a higher value called servants of God than their own lives. But what about the Umos Olam? What about the nations who are watching this? Omnam, the asterisk in 13 on the bottom, Serech Yun, Mibotech Shememet Yabitu Umos Olam Linulakach. How do we know? What guarantee do we have that the nations are going to look to us in that way? You take a look at Chana v'Shiva Baneha, Antiochus, right? And he threw that ring down for the last child to just pick up the ring and look like he's going to serve idol. And all seven of her children die, and she herself dies. Aren't they going to look at you and go, God, you're crazy. Like, what's wrong with you? And he says, Lama lo yabitu aleihem, in the swiggly in 14, K'mo shanam abitim, amapilei b'nenei b'nyanei to'omim, she'mushugaim v'rashim mufkarim. Why won't the Umos Olam, the nations, look at us when we die al Kiddush Hashem, the way we look at those crazy people? We look at them as crazy. Those who took down the Twin Towers and died in those airplanes, right? They also gave up their lives. Why do we look at them as meshugas and we look at us as die al Kiddush Hashem? So he says that's why the end of the pasuk is, and we don't pay attention to this enough, Ani Hashem Mikadishchem, I am the one who sanctified you. Sharei kol ha-petach lomar, she'ei mesirut nafsho mesir amiti, v'she'ei no ra'ya galuto v'galun Hashem Yibarach. The only reason that we would think a person is crazy is because they would think that he's doing this just for, you know, hefker, without thinking it through. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm making you a promise. Ve'idei shani ha-kadesh etchem, whenever a person dies al Kiddush Hashem, that is going to be because Hashem is going to sanctify those people. And teru memele kanashim dolim minei olam. And those people are going to be looked at as great people in this world. And they're not going to be looked at as people who are, you know, just giving up their lives, but people who have a value, people who have a sense of mission and purpose, and are going to be looked at as heroes and not as crazy people. So you take a look at the Har Nof story, for example, when you have the individual who stood up with the tables and chairs and tried to, you know, stop the terrorists so that other people could run away and die doing so. That wasn't because he didn't value his life. He understood there's a greater purpose in life. And we look at him as a hero and not, God forbid, as somebody who, is crazy and is, you know, That is a gift. Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. That's a gift that Hashem is bringing to each and every person who dies on Kiddush Hashem. The story that Rav Birnbaum brings, and I brought it at the bottom of 15, if anyone would like to see it inside, very famous story of the Stipler Gaon. The Stipler was in the army in Russia, and he was told one time on Shabbos that they were having shooting exercises to shoot the target. So he said, I can't do that. It's Mechal Shabbos. So the person said, well, I'll kill you if you don't shoot. He says, you don't have a right to kill me. Only the commanding officer does. So he calls the commanding officer. And the commanding officer says, yes, you can shoot him. He says, okay, now I'm in problems. So again, this is not one of those cases of Yeherik Valyavor. You have to be over on Shabbos and not be killed, right? It's not one of the three cardinal sins. So he's cheshbonning in his head. Well, if he shoots, he's a lefty with his left hand. So it will take shorter time to reach the target. But on Shabbos, if you have to do a malacha, it's better to do a bishinui, right? With some type of change. So it's better if he shoots it with his right hand. But if he shoots it with his right hand, he's going to have to shoot many more times to hit the target. So he's going to be doing many more malachas than if he would do it with his left hand. And he says, you know what? Let me do a bishinui. Let me do it in the least, you know, way of transgressing Shabbos as possible. And Hashem Yasor. And lo and behold, with his right hand, which was not his strong hand, he shot the arrow. He shot the gun, and it hit the target bullseye first time. And the commanding officer was standing there. I was like, whoa, I see now. You're a holy man. You're not just trying to get out of exercising. He excused him from all exercises on Shabbos. And the Russian soldiers, fellow soldiers, came to him as a holy man to be able to deal with their disputes and their issues. This is what we're talking about. Hashem will create this feeling of Kiddush Hashem. And that's the Siyata Deshmaya that Hashem gives us, that we understand that these are very holy people. So, my friends, that's idea number one in understanding our parsha v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. It is found in the passive sense, because there's a way to constantly do this without actually dying on Kiddush Hashem. Understand that there are times and situations where we do need to die on Kiddush Hashem. Our whole lives is really preparation for this, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, Kiddush Hashem. And understand that the Goyim aren't going to look at us as crazy. It's a special gift that Hashem will make them understand that these people are indeed very holy people. Now let's focus in on the second way of looking at, the second level of looking at V'nikdashti. And this is the one I'd like to focus in on a little bit more and develop in Mirtz Hashem, because this is, I think, even more applicable to our lives. Rav Bik in Chayim Moshe, Rav Bik Zal, says the following 19. He says, V'zeh yivuar gatu V'nikdashti b'tov b'nei Yisrael, or Pasuk, she'a mitzvah shal Kiddush Hashem. B'nai Israel are ready to give up their lives to die to be able to sanctify God's name. Ulam, however, ain ikar ritzono yiparach, really the will of God, is not this. Ki ritzono yiparach she'adam yikadesh et shmo gadol b'oldo alei adamot. Really, Hashem wants us to sanctify His name on earth. V'chol yimei chayav yu chativa achat shel kiddush shmo yiparach b'olam. And our whole lives should be one continuous kiddush Hashem. And that's why the Chumash says, Ani Hashem Ekadishchem. I am Hashem who sanctifies you. I am Hashem who enables you to sanctify yourself, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvotav, in doing the mitzvahs down here in this world. And that is why Chazal tells us, this is the end of 19, Yafesh Shachas V'tshuva Maisim Tovim V'olam Hazeh Yoter Mikol Chayei Olam Haba. The goal is really to live a life of Torah mitzvahs in this world more than living in Chayei Olam Haba. With this all, Moshe Rav Scheinerman in source 20 points out a very beautiful pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim, Livnei Korach Mizmor, Shir Yisodoto Baharei Kodesh. This is a song on the foundation of the mountains of holiness. What are the mountains of holiness? So he explains that the mountains of holiness refer to two types of mountains, Har Moriah and Har Sinai. Har Moriah is where Avraham Avinu was ready to do the Akedah, which was about dying on Kiddush Hashem. And Har Sinai, the other mountain, is where we got the Torah, where it's about living on Kiddush Hashem. Those are the two aspects that form the bedrock, the Shir Yisodoto HaRei Kodesh, and what Judaism is about. And as our Israel Mayor Druk in Source 21 points out, Shalolam ein derech emsa'i, there is no middle ground. O shema kachim shem shemaim, o shema chalim shem shemaim. Either you sanctify God, or you don't. Or otherwise, a chilul Hashem. Imeinu mekadesh shem shemaim oidei masav harish shemachalo hu et Hashem. Either in any action you do, you're creating a kiddush Hashem, godliness in this world, or you're creating a chilul Hashem. And we need to understand this. Very beautiful essay of our Friedlander in Siftei Chaim, where he quotes here the Nefesh HaChaim in 22. Let's work for a few moments in the air, and then we'll come back down. What is the idea of Kedusha? Nekadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam. We say, let us sanctify God's name in this world. Ki inyan amiras ha-kedusha yalat ha-olamot v'kashrutam kol olam ba-olamot shamalav losif kushatam sitzuch haram. We say Kedusha, it's about elevating all the different levels of the world to a level higher, to elevation, to purity. And we know that there's a level of Atzilus, Abriya, Yitzira, Atzia, right? These are Kabbalistic terminologies of different types of worlds that Hashem is creating. Biur Halat Alamot, what does it mean to elevate the world? In the bracket, double underline, 22. Klomar La'alot et Atzmo, it's really elevating ourselves. Aideha Karasha Tachlit Kol Olamot, the purpose of all the worlds, Haruchaniim, of the spiritual worlds, V'talamot Shebetoch Adam Atzmo, and our inner world, he quotes Shemayim, is to be able to bring the Kvod Shemayim, the godliness into this world, Ayidei Shenokdim L'chol Briah, the Erech HaNachom B'Vadat Hashem, Shekol Briah, Nivriah L'Kvodo Yitbarach. It's by being able to take all aspects of creation and elevating them for the purpose of sanctification of God's name. So before I eat, behold, I'm eating in order to be able to serve God better. Before, whatever it is that I'm doing on the treadmill, I'm able to serve God by exercising. That the whole world is taking that treadmill and being able to literally run with it and elevate it. And this is the idea, L'chvodi brati, we spoke about the Pasuk in Yeshaya, for my honor I created the world. And it's not really only about elevating the outer world. Ach b'ikar, and the arrow sarich l'romem et ha'olam shel atzmo, l'akir she'en lo erech milvad ritzono yiparach. And this is very, it sounds so simple, but so difficult. To realize that there's only one reality, and that's to serve God. And that whatever I'm doing in life, I can't get lost in the alma, the shikra, the world of falsehood, to think that, you know, well, I'm making money, and it's good, and I'll be able to use the money. Like, have clarity. Know that whatever I'm doing, it's not just a means to an end. The means themselves should be holy, should be with a mindset of being able to elevate this world. And this explains the Nefesh HaChaim, and I've never seen this before, though it's very fascinating, in the asterisk in 23, that this is perhaps the source of the minhag of Klal Yisrael, that we know when we say Kedusha, when we say the words Kadosh, 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 we have almost choreography going on, and we elevate our feet, right? We, you know, pick our feet up. Three times, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Why are we lifting up the backs of our feet? Kamor kedusha hitidro mamor. The outer is supposed to influence the inner. That kedusha is about being able to lift up. That we're here physically by elevating ourselves. It's a reminder. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. What is kedusha about? It's about me, my personal life, elevating everything that I have for the service of God. Now, my friends, the real elevation of everything for the service of God, it's not only in my physical actions, the eating, the communication, for sure that's there. However, first and foremost, it has to start deep within me. And that explains in 24 why the beginning of Shema, of Ahavta at Hashem Elokecha, to love Hashem, is not Bechol Nafshecha, even if He takes away your soul. There's a condition before that, Bechol Levavcha, with all of your heart, and not Bechol Libcha, singular, Bechol Levavcha, plural. Your Yetzer Tov and your Yetzer Hara. It's to take all of your Ritzonos, L'tzarich L'hov et Hashem Bechol Ritzonotav, to love Hashem with all of your desires, with everything that makes you you, to be able, whether it's the great desires or the small desires, Mitoch Yitbatlut L'avodat Hashem, to be able to submerge them into the will of God. And only after the Bitur Ritzonot HaTzmiim Shelo, only after you've been able to take your personal desires and elevate them to Hashem, then you can go to the next stage of Bechol Nafshecha, to give up your soul. Machshava zu sh'ritzonot limsor nafsho yichud Hashem shayachet rak im hu mucham limsor gam etzonotav Hashem Yitbarach. You know, sometimes it's the strangest way to sound. It may be easier to give up your life for God than to live a life al kiddush Hashem, which is moment by moment to give up what's dear for you or what's challenging for you for what is the will of God. But if you're not ready to give up, aval yimeinu mevater ritzonot shelo, you're not ready to be mevater, to give up on your desires, as Mesirat HaNefesh, Shirach Machshava Gzreita, then it's just an esoteric idea, because you have to begin first and foremost with this premise, Abatel Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono, Bitur Ritzono Zo Vitur Lachaim Shalom. It's about giving up your life. It's about living Al Kiddush Hashem. And that means, my friends, that whatever it is in life, as difficult as it may be, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's will is primary. And that's how he explains in 27. Avodat Hashem mechayevet lachnis kol miskeret avodah v'chayim tachet v'chol ma'aseh yiru shem shemayim. It's all about giving up our lives and living that everything is for the sake of God. Avodas Hashem. And any time, v'chol yiridah mizeh k'shadam osar rak kafi ma'ashe noach lo, o kafi ritzonotav. Anytime you do just the easy way out, or what's comfortable for you, or what you desire, that is creating empty space. It's creating empty space, halal, from the ability to utilize it to serve God. And hence, that creates a chilul Hashem. And that's why he quotes here Rabbeinu Yonah in 28, this is about my conversations with people, creates a kiddush Hashem. It's the way I interact, in my speech, in my actions. Even at 29, Behagyon Libo, even what you're thinking about, has the ability to create a Chilul Hashem or a Kiddush Hashem. And he notes at the end of 29, Yesodot Elu Ba'im Lidei Bitui Bevadat Hashem Shelano Ayom Yomi. This happened in our everyday service of God. Lakum Bavokir B'Srisos, not to stay in bed, but to get up out of bed. La Rutz Lamo B'Srisos, to learn or to do whatever you have to do. To David B'Srisos. Mitoch HaKarat Chashivut Avodat Hashem. It's important to serve God. I'm going to jump out of bed. This is the Kiddush Hashem. Zeh HaMivchan Eitzel Kol Echad B'Hitmodedut HaYom Yomit Shelo. This is why the idea of Kiddush Hashem and Ikdashti B'Tol B'nei Yisrael is a continuous mitzvah every day. How much are we ready to sanctify Hashem in our thoughts, in our actions, in our speech? Perhaps let me put this idea into a very concrete example, a personal example, if you'll allow me. I know stories are much more engaging and fascinating. However, having said that, I'll share a personal story that, for me, demonstrated processing the shir. And sometimes when someone processes something out loud, it helps others process as well. So let's go back a few weeks. Pesach. Pesach was over Motzei Shabbos for us, as well as for B'nai Chutz La'aretz. Rabbeinu Tam, which we try to hold by, was 8:34. So I am, and I'll say it publicly, a type A personality. So even though my house is in need, if I have a project to do, I like to get it done. Like, I'm the one who, like, will, you know, send in an article, you know, 3 weeks before the deadline, because I don't like having it under my head, if at all possible. So here I am, 8:34. Since Rabbeinu time is 8:34, we don't just end at 8:34. There's like, you have Tosfos Shabbos, you add to Shabbos. So let's add 10 minutes, 8:44. Okay, 8:44. There are styles of dishes, a two-day yantif, and there's Pesach all over the place, and everything has to get cleaned up. So, like, I'm ready to roll up the sleeves and get moving. So I turn to my girls and say, okay, let's start. So one of my daughters says, Ima, we're not running out of Shabbos. We're not running into the week. 9 o'clock if you want my help. If I want her help, 9 o'clock. Yeah, I want her help. I can't do this without her. But that's 20 minutes. 20 minutes. What am I going to do 20 minutes? This is like, you know, okay, but I need her help. So, deep breaths. We wait till 9 o'clock. Okay. Everything gets done. 11:30. It's all packed up. And now we have to take care of the other one who fell on their hand on Thursday night and still hasn't been able to really move it so well to make sure it's not broken. Okay, so we have to go to urgent care in Israel School Terem, knowing full well that there may be many other people like me who don't have a real emergency but don't want to deal with the doctor's office the next day and are going to join me at Terem. So I drive down 15 minutes, 10 minutes to Terem, and I pull, knowing that I'm going to be there a while because it's not a major emergency, right? They do triage. I pulled the safer that was on the dashboard, which happens to be the Tzitzel Katan of Rebbe Elimelech. So we're in Terem, and I'm learning this piece of the Tzitzel Katan about dying of Kiddush Hashem and giving up your life and being able to love God, and that's the only focus in your life, etc., etc. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it's not broken. By 1:15, 1:20, we're back home. Okay, great. I am ready just to crawl into bed. Wait a second, it's Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, it's Malava Malka. So you need to eat a Malava Malka. Okay, there's no chametz in the house, so you eat matzah. Okay, but to eat matzah, you have to wash, and it's not like, you know, a slice of bread. You have to eat a whole machine matzah to wash with a bracha. Okay, 1:30 at night, we're washing on a whole machine matzah, but you can't just have matzah from Malava Malka, so we have to heat something up and cook something, and then my daughter wants to sing, because after all, it's Malava Malka, so you have to sing in Malava Malka, clearly. It's a whole big shkabiel. So by the time I finally get into bed, I'm thinking to myself, I was thinking to myself about the Tzitzel Katan that I read, and I'm thinking to myself, am I on this level of dying of Kiddush Hashem? Can I say that my love for Hashem is so overwhelming that it is the primary factor in my life? And as I'm thinking about this, no, I did not think about, you know, a fire consuming me. I was just trying to think of a basic emotion, like, where am I holding? And I was very depressed. I said, you know what, I'm not holding anywhere near the Tzitzel Katan. Like, I'm just not there. So I went to sleep depressed. Then the next day, I learned this piece of Siftei Chaim. Right? It's a process of preparation of a shir. And then I said to myself, okay, Shira, now redo in your mind the night before. And see that, you, yes, you may not be on that level of the nikdashti of the Tzitzel Katan. You're not there yet. Okay, yet is an important word. But focus in on how you can be the nikdashti. You can still fulfill the mitzvah of living al Kiddush Hashem when you give up your desires for a higher will. So go back to the night. And when you see that the you want it to 8:44 to start, you know, taking out Shabbos, and you didn't, that's breaking a ratzon. That's breaking a desire. When you bring a sefer to Terem, and therefore, for me, it allows you not to give, you know, not to say any comments like, why they first, and you're just focusing in your own world. That's also you know, strategy for being able to be a Baal Midos and be able to have patience to wait your turn. And then look at what happens at the end of the night. To be able to say, oh, I'm so tired, who can think about Malava Malka? No. And the halacha is, I need a whole matzah, so be a whole matzah. Something hot will be something hot. A song, okay, we'll even add a song on top of it. All of this is breaking ratzon. You have certain desires, and you're saying, God's will, and this is whatever it is, the matzah, the shir, the high food, is a higher will than your will. That's v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. And I think it's so fundamental for us to realize, and this for me was the chiddush of the shir, it's about reframing that which we do, and instead of saying, ugh, gotta eat that matzah, no, it's, wow, I have the ability to do the mitzvah of Malava Malka, as well as the ability to do the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. That I'm overcoming my desires and my ratzon for a higher ratzon. And the moment that I reframe this, and I'm telling you, it's over and over again, I can't get out of bed. For me, getting out of bed is a real struggle. I don't know if anyone else feels this way. And I say to myself, I can't get out of bed. you know what? If I push myself out of bed at this very moment, even though it's so difficult for me, I'm hinini muchan mesuman to be mekayim the mitzvah v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, and you get out of bed. Wow. That's how Kiddush Hashem is each and every day in our lives. And this is what the Talmud Rebbe points out in Hema Yenachamuni. In 31 and 32, he explains the question of the Chidushei Arim based on the answer of the Baral of why is Akedat Yitzchak the Nisayil, the test that's connected to Avraham Avinu, not Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu is the one who has to give up his life. And the Baral answers it one big difference. Yitzchak Avinu is going to die, and that's going to be it. But Avraham Avinu has to live with the fact that he killed his son. To be able to live Akedat Hashem, to be able to live continuously, whether it's giving up your rutzon or holding back what you want to do or say and you don't do or say, wow, that's tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So Kiddush Hashem happens when you get up out of bed, and Kiddush Hashem happens when you eat that Malava Malka, and Kiddush Hashem also happens when you want to say something to somebody, have that great response, and you don't. When you want to speak that Lashon Hara, and you don't. You want to get angry, and you don't. Holding back your ratzon, v'chol levavcha, with all of your heart. That's also a Kiddush Hashem. And hence, 34 in the asterisk. The Talmud Rebbe notes, v'mishum kach, b'tah Torah mitzvahs Kiddush Hashem, b'lashon nifal, v'nikdashti, hadavar marel Kiddush Hashem asamui. It's like about the hidden Kiddush Hashem. Lo b'maisa gadol shemesir sachayim v'poal Kiddush Mois Baruch. It's not talking about giving up your life, this major event. El Kiddush Hashem anaseh v'himan'ut b'taifos. When I hold myself back from a taifa, when I don't eat that extra piece of whatever it is. B'risunu b'blikma, when I close my mouth and I don't say something. Kiddush Hashem ha-notzar ayidei ihasiyah. That's why it's in the passive. The Kiddush Hashem of not doing is the continuous Kiddush Hashem that we have every day of our lives. And hence the Shemin HaTov, Rav Weinberger Zal notes in 15, that this is why it's found within this section of the Chumash, where you have the Kedusha of the Kohanim, which is the Kedusha of the Nefesh. You have the Kedusha of the holiness of the Moadim, which is the Kedusha of the Shana of time. And you have the Kedusha of the Lechem Aponim, of the Menorah, which is the Kedusha of Olam of space. Ashan, Olam Shana Nefesh. In all of these Kedushas, there is obviously a continuum of different ways to Mekadesh, different ways to bring Kedusha, there are different levels of Kedusha for a Kohen, different levels of Kedusha on the Moadim. And likewise, by Kiddush Shem Shemayim, every person is holding on a different level. For one person, holding back is a big deal. For someone else, it was a no big deal to do that. Each and every one of us is found at a different level. As Rav Moshe Feinstein notes in Darosh Moshe 36, that the person profanes Hashem's name whenever he acts below the level that he has established as appropriate for him. The Gemara in Yuma quotes various Amorayim saying, for me not paying a bill immediately is a chil Hashem. For me walking 4 cubits without tefillin is a chil Hashem. We can apply this lesson learned from here to the average man. If he's capable of learning at a higher level, but he's too lazy to do so, or if he's wealthy and capable of giving a large sum, but doesn't, this is a profanation of Hashem's name. Thus, whoever does not sanctify is mechalo. Right? This is a very strong reminder how carefully and diligently we should determine carry out our duties. If we're not meeting up to the expectations that Hashem wants from us, when we have the ability to hold back, or we have the ability to do, and we don't, so we have taken away that potential Kiddush Hashem, and that in itself creates a Chil Hashem, that empty space, that Chalal, that empty space, space in Hebrew is called Chalal. And that's why there's no middle ground. It's either Kiddush Hashem or Chil Hashem. And perhaps that's why, further, why it's found snuck into all of these, this section, because Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem is an everyday event. If it had high press, it would be like a one-time lifetime event. It's not about a one-time lifetime event. You don't even realize it's there. It's seamless in the text among all other Kedushas because it's part of the fabric of what our lives are all about. And indeed, as Nesiv Shalom points out in Source 37, that the Rambam writes this mitzvah in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, This is the foundation of Torah. Mipnei sheset tafkid klali v'karish yudim u'chuyabo kol yimei chayav. This is something that a Jew has to do his entire lifetime. Our lives are about being able to overcome our desires. And hence, he quotes here the Masil Susharim. We'll do a little bit from the English in Rav Yaakov Hillel's commentary, Ascending the Path in 38. And behold, the Holy One, blessed be He, has placed man in a setting where the factors which draw him further from Him are many. These are the physical desires, which, if he's drawn after them, lead him farther from the true God, true good of closeness to Hashem. Remember, we earn our share in the world to come by fighting to overcome temptation. If mitzvot and piety and good deeds were effortless, they would have little buying power. To increase their value, Hashem has seen to it that they demand our finest effort. The situation is not easy, but definitely it's not impossible. If he's strong and applies himself seriously and emerges victorious on all fronts, he will be the perfect man who will merit to cleave to his Creator and leave this passageway and enter the palace to glow in the light of life. To the extent that he controlled his evil inclination, his desires, and distanced himself from all the distractions that try to throw him off course, and distance him from the good, and the extent to which he exerts himself to cleave to it, to that extent he will attain it and rejoice in it. And this is the opposite of many people imagine. We look at the lives of others and think they have it easy, they come from good families, attend the best schools, I'm not as lucky, what can anyone expect of me? And the answer is, Lufum Sara Agra, according to the pain, is the reward. And realize that every single thing is calculated. Reward for Torah study in 40, for example, is not calculated by IQ scores, but by input. What counts is how fully we give of ourselves to Hashem, using whatever resources that we have. When faced with tests, we must believe that we're indeed capable of passing them. This belief itself will help us do so, since it guarantees that Hashem will help us pass the test. What Hashem wants from us is our struggle. What Hashem wants from us is to be able to do the best we can to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And this is why, he notes in 42, the language of the Rambam is Kol Beit Yisrael Mitzavim Al Kiddush Hashem. Every single person in Beis Yisrael, in the house of Israel, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, every person on the level that they are at are expected to be able to behave in a certain way. And this is something that we all know. We've all worked on different mitos. We're all holding in different levels. And depending on where we are holding, that's the level that's expected of us to now be able, Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to be able to hold ourselves back, or to do this mitzvah, right? So, for example, going back to my example, if Malava Malka was something that you have not worked on your whole life, and you've really made it a point, and sometimes it's a very difficult challenge. I find this particularly when I'm traveling, and, you know, you're by people's houses, and they don't always hold by Malava Malka, and you have the issue of Pas Yisrael, and how do you get Pas Yisrael to have bread to Malava Malka, and, you know, you've been through the struggles, and it's something important to you. So then you'll, you know, 1:30 at night, eat an entire matzah when it's the last thing you want to do. If this isn't something you've ever done, and like Malava Malka is not even on your radar, so then what is expected of you is much different than someone who is on the radar. And again, that's why we're saying the Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem is very much a continuum of where you're holding, and our lives are about being tested in those very areas that we have flexed our muscles a little bit, and there's a certain amount of expectation that is expected of us. He describes very beautifully as an imagery in 42 that this is based on the Chozev of Lublin. It says by the Parsha and the Akedah that after Avraham Avinu was told, don't sacrifice Yitzchak, he lifted up his eyes, Vayisa, Vayar, and he says, Vinei Ayel Achar Nechav Esfach B'Karnav. He sees a ram that Achar, a different ram, is stuck with its horns on the bushes. So he says there are two types of sacrifices. One is the ram that is sacrificed on the altar. That's Dayan Kiddush Hashem. Then there's another ram. That's the ram that's caught by Tzvach, that's caught in the thicket, that's caught in that heated moment. Oh, I really want to say it. I know I shouldn't say it. I really want to stay in bed. Nah. You know, there's a great line that I saw in one of the Sfarim where a certain Rebbe would get up very early in the morning to go to shul, to learn, to daven. And one morning, the Yetzer Hara came to this Rebbe and said to him in his ear, "You know, it is so cold outside. Stay in bed." So the Rebbe turned to the Yetzer Hara and said, "You are so right. You know, Yetzer Hara, it's really too cold for you to go outside. Why don't you stay in this warm bed and don't leave it? And I'll be fine going to the Beis Medrash," right? It's a great line to speak to your Yetzer Hara in the morning, and hopefully no one will think you're too crazy. And then, when you're able to overcome the thicket, then Bikarnav, then you're shining. The Karan Or, right? Michelangelo made that mistake. It wasn't that he had horns. It was that his face shone. So the horns of the animal are also this imagery that this is the way we're going to shine. Because after all, we know in 43, there are two types of enemies that are on the front lines telling us to be mechalel shem shemayim. One is the outer enemy, right, who's saying, you know, do this, otherwise I'll kill you. And one's the inner enemy, the Yetzer Hara, who also is on the front lines. And we also have to speak to him, and we also have to deal with him. My friends, that's our final idea for today, and then we'll end with a story of Mirtz Hashem. I'd like to suggest on our final page two things to think about, two models, when we're working on this struggle of living al kiddush Hashem, of trying to be v'nikdashti in an active or passive way on a daily basis. And I think both of them are found in the struggle, both of these models, in the struggle of Yaakov Avinu with the angel. Where my friend in print points out, by contrast, 46, the most crucial moments of Jewish history were often those that took place in absolute solitude, as far from the eyes of the world as possible. We as a people take our name Yisrael from Yaakov's encounter with an angel. The Torah's account of the event begins and Yaakov is left alone. Yaakov, being by himself, of necessity perceiving his grappling with the angel. And when the angel tells Yaakov that he will henceforth be known as Yisrael, he explains, "For you have striven with the divine and with man, and you have prevailed." Rav Moshe Meitzelman, a Jewish woman, Jewish law, notes that Unkelos makes a crucial change in preposition. So the verse reads, "You have fought before God and against man." In other words, the only audience to whom Yaakov attached any importance was Hashem himself. And this is reflected in the name Yisrael passed down to his descendants throughout the generations. One of the key things that we have to keep in mind by Kiddush Hashem, which is so counterintuitive because we have this image that Kiddush Hashem has to be in public and many people have to see it. There is, and we learn the idea of Kiddusha being said by 10 from this pasuk, but Tov B'nei Yisrael, granted. But really, the Kiddush Hashem that we're talking about on a daily basis oftentimes happens in private. There's a fascinating insight that Chochmat HaMatzpun, quoting Rav Yitzchak Isaac Shero, Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva Zal, notes in sources 47 through 49. It's a story of Rav Hananya ben Tragion, who's one of the 10 martyrs, who we know is very famous, one of the 10. He taught Torah in public, and he was wrapped with a Sefer Torah around him and burned. And he describes the vision of the scroll being burned and the letters ascending on high. So once Rabbi Hananya ben Tragion came to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, and he says, "How do I know?" Right here, he's teaching Torah publicly. This is Mesiras Nefesh. He says, "How do I know I'm a Ben Olam Haba?" So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says to him, "Did you ever do anything that was really special?" So he says, "Yeah. One Purim, I collected money from Matanos Slavyoni, and I had my own money in my pocket, and I forgot which pocket was Stucca money, which pocket was my money, so I gave everything over to Stucca." He says, "Ah, for that you're worthy of being a Ben Olam Haba." Now we look at this story and we say, we must be missing off something here. Rabbi Hananya ben Tragion, who was one of the great scholars of that time, tremendous, dying al Kiddush Hashem, and for this he's worthy of being a Ben Olam Haba. So he explains the following. He says, "Hinalim Dun Rabbi Hananya ben Tragion b'sheila tov Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma b'tshuvato," we're in 48 in the asterisks, "ki asiyat mitzvah achat kitikuna u'bematkanota kara'uy v'kahogim b'shleimut v'nirtzik," doing one mitzvah really well, "mitzakeh ba'alel l'chay olam haba," can bring a person to olam haba, "v'devar zeh maftiach et adam yoter mashir mitzvus nefesh al kiddush Hashem," and this can be even greater than giving up your life for Kiddush Hashem. To be able to really serve Hashem, not with personal interest. You know, everybody here, look what I'm about to do. Not sharing with anybody, but doing it privately and really doing this because this is the way I can serve Hashem, that is even higher than dying o Kiddush Hashem. And he says, Vaday ki karasho chanai batznei alecha. How do you do this? It's by living a life of a private life. V'karatznei alecha di mitzvah shevalev. It's really doing things. V'otama ma'asim asherinam niklim la'ayim kol basar. It's about doing things which is rachok min afarhesia min afumbiyut, which is not in public, which is not, you know, with shining eyes. Those are the things that make the deepest impression. Not that I'm trying to impress people, not that I'm trying to tell people what a tzaddik or tzaddikas I am, but between me and God, that's in front of God. Kisarita im Elokim, in front of God. And that's why I've been victorious, because I know it's about how can I sanctify God in the purest way without all the trappings of what other people say about me, and then it's really about me and not about serving God. So that's the first thing. How do we work on being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? Try in the privacy of our lives. It's getting up out of bed in the morning, the real basic thing, not eating that extra piece of cake, not getting angry, not saying something, extending myself to do a mitzvah that's difficult to do, helping out that friend, that one step, that extra hour that's difficult. When I do those things, that's being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, without anyone needing to know about it. The second aspect is to know a gewaltic idea of the Imre Emes. He says, 51, after being bested by Yaakov, the Moloch blessed him, no longer will be said that your name is Yaakov, but Yisrael, for you have struggled with divine and with man you have succeeded. In that case, why is Yaakov's name called by the name Yisrael, which is connected to struggling and not to success? The Imre Emes explains that what defines a Jew is not his successes, but his struggles. Whether you succeed or not, it's not up to you, but up to Hashem. Hashem wants us to keep struggling. Yaakov struggled all his life. He had many nisyonos, many challenges. Hashem was telling Yaakov via the Malach that his children would also have struggles, but that would define who they are. We are B'nai Israel, the sons of struggles, and that's what makes us great. It's okay to fall. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam, in 50, it's the falling that makes a person tzadik. And that when I don't get up out of bed, and I say that thing, I shouldn't beat myself up and say I'm a failure. I say I'm a Yisrael. I'm a person of struggle. And it's okay to struggle. As long as I'm in the battle, it's not a TKO, and I'm, you know, total knockout, but I'm there, ready to get up again. That's what makes us us. And that's what we need to understand, that that's what Hashem wants from us. The Nikdash Yimitot B'nei Israel is not a one-time thing. It's day in, day out. It's hour in, hour out, and sometimes minute in and minute out. Hashem wants our struggle, because as long as we're struggling, we're alive. As we're alive, we have the ability to bring Kvod Shemayim into this world. This particular piece from the Imre Emes is from a larger story of Rabbi Spiro, this new Sefer, The Spark Within, which is a beautiful collection of stories and insights in Torah. So I'd like to share the story that's the background to this insight, and with this we will close. There's a Kiruv Institute in place in Chicago, where this fellow Charlie was taking classes, and he was interested, but he was sitting on the fence. You know, people sit on the fence. Yeah, it's very nice, it's very beautiful, but it's too hard. Finally, Rabbi called him and said, "Charlie, it's time. You got to make a decision. You got to sit. You know, get to one side of the fence already." So he says, "Take one mitzvah and start with that." So he said, "Okay." Charlie says, "I'm going to start with kashrut." Great. Charlie says, "One minute, Rabbi. I want to start tomorrow. There are these super dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, in Chicago that are like, you know, I know from L.A., pinks, right? It's like, no, I've never been there. Our shul was two doors down, and you saw these lines, right? I just have to have one final super dog before I give up kashrut." Rabbi says, "Okay." Goes into the store and he orders, you know, the super duper duper super dog. And he's sitting down to eat, relishing every single minute. And a guy in a business suit sits down across from him and they start talking and talks about it. It turns out their kids are in the same school and they're schmoozing. And the guy says, "Do you like super dogs?" "Do I like super dogs?" says Charlie. "I love super dogs." And then he says, "You know, this is unfortunately going to be my last super dog. Really? The guy says, what happened? Well, he's embarrassed to say, you know, that he's going to become religious, right? We spoke about fanaticism and how to go look at this. So he says, you know, super dogs are very expensive. And for me to, you know, times are tough. To buy a super dog and to give my kids super dogs, it's really very expensive. The guy says, oh, I feel so bad for you. If you love super dogs so much, and finances should not come in your way. You know, I happen to be the owner of super dogs. Pulls out of his wallet a card. This entitles you and your family to free super dogs for your entire life. So Charlie takes his card, runs over to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, what does God want from me? This is like my dream come true. Free super dogs for the rest of my life. And tomorrow I'm starting to keep kashrut, like, hello. And like, you know, this is like some type of, you know, game. The rabbi said, no. God knows that you have the ability to withstand. And this isn't something to try to trick you or fool you. This is to show he believes in you. That even with that card, you can do it, Charlie. And it's a struggle. It's not going to come easy. But if you believe that this is the right thing to do, you'll be able to do it. And sure enough, Charlie took on kashrus, and that led to one mitzvah after another. And based on the rabbi's suggestion, Charlie has hanging up in his dining room a framed card of a free lifetime at Superdog. And that's a reminder to Charlie. And it's really a reminder to all of us, and we all have our own Superdog cards, of Yisrael, that we are a people of struggle, Vatuchal, and we have the ability to vanquish. We have the ability to overcome. And each and every time we overcome that battle, we then become a conduit of the Higashti B'Toch B'nei Yisrael. I become a living El Kiddush Hashem. So you're right. Our whole lives are preparing for that moment. And we hope that that moment never comes. We in Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's right around the time now of Yom Zikaron for the soldiers who died El Kiddush Hashem fighting for the land of Israel. We're living in a time where anti-Semitism, unfortunately, it's rearing its head, and we hope that we're never put in this position. My friends, when we look at this pasuk, we shouldn't just think of those examples of Vinikdashti. Look at your own life. Look at your own situations in life, your own battles, your own Yisrael, your own struggles, your own superdog cards, and be able to say that when I get up out of bed in the morning, and I don't say, and I don't eat, and I whatever it is, I have just been mekayim v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. And that should fill us with a tremendous amount of inspiration and ability to say, you know, I have this ability to mekayim this mitzvah, and I feel good, I feel connected. And indeed, each and every time we do this, it's as if we're raising our feet in the Kedusha. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We've elevated the world around us and elevated the world inside of us.